Today on More to Life, loving difficult people. Are you in a challenging relationship with someone? Feeling stuck dealing with a difficult person? We'll help you find the right ways to respond gracefully. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, loving difficult people. I know that you have no difficult people in your life, but in case you do.
Or know someone who does.
That's right, exactly. If you're asking for a friend, the fact is we all do have challenging people in our life, and sometimes it's hard to know how to respond to them. You know, none of us want to deal with the conflict or the drama or create conflict or drama, but sometimes it just piles up, and it's hard to know what to do or say to address that person's offenses. So we're here to help. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We'll help you figure out the next grace-filled steps to managing that difficult relationship with that challenging person.
And here's why you want to call in about this. Because if you're saying, I'm not going to call in, I'm going to listen to what somebody else's answer is when they call in. The problem is, every situation with a difficult person is completely different.
Because there are a billion different ways to be difficult.
Just a billion? I think it's probably bigger than that.
So far, those are the only ones that I've found to be able to, in my own, to be difficult to other people. So,
oh, there
yeah,
you
I'm
go.
Exploring.
Well, you keep working on it.
Thanks.
It can grow. You can raise that,
that
number. But the problem really is that every relationship history is different. Everyone's struggles, although they might have commonalities, are unique to each person. Even each time of history that they're happening in. And each of us has different virtues that we're stronger in that we can bring into that situation. But we also have different weaknesses that make it hard for us to really deal with that difficult person. So if you're having people's faces pop up in your mind and you're thinking, oh, they really are more difficult than I want them to be. Oh, I really don't want to have to deal with them at this point or this time or at all. Give us a call today. Let us help you connect with brand new skills, brand new virtues that you can exercise, and some really good grace from God to bring into the whole situation and give you a much calmer, happier, peaceful experience. Give us a call today at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. And wouldn't you agree, Greg, that there are times where you say, gosh, if I could only apply what I did with this person to that person, everything would be fine. But it doesn't always work that way, right?
Oh, well, no, of course not. Because as you said, every relationship is different. So we give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, who is that difficult person you are struggling to deal with in your life? It could be anyone, your spouse, one of your younger or adult kids, a parent or a family member, or even a friend or coworker. Maybe they lash out when they're upset, or they're impossible to please. Maybe they're maybe they consistently say or do hurtful things, or worse, refuse to take responsibility when you try to address the problem. Maybe they're passive-aggressive, and they tell you they're going to change, but then they fail to follow through. Whatever the details might be, we all have difficult people in our lives, and we want to help you manage those challenging relationships gracefully. 877 573-7825.
I know for me personally, I've dealt with people who, you know, not everybody that's ever been difficult, but one or two that when I go to them and I say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with your reaction or the way you're behaving, they'll turn it around and tell me all the reasons they're behaving that way is because I did something or I'm this way or whatever those things are, especially around my faith. You know, oh, if you just weren't so religious, you wouldn't be problematic in this way, or you wouldn't expect me to be like you. It's, you know, basically like living out some virtues and being a kind person. But it you can end up being on the defensive with some people as well, and I know that's happened to me in a few times in my life. We all deal with somebody or some situation where somebody is really difficult to deal with. Let's make it a little bit easier today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be wondering, well, what is that exactly, and how could it possibly help me deal with difficult people? Well, you've come to the right place. So St. John Paul gave us a series of reflections that we can use to discover God's plan for having a more abundant life and experiencing healthier, holier relationships.
The challenge, of course, in loving difficult people is that it requires us to develop a more mature and nuanced approach to applying God's mercy. St. John Paul II's theology of the body reminds us that every person is made in the image of God and called to love as God loves, which is freely, totally, fruitfully, and faithfully. And sometimes this looks like bearing wrongs patiently. Other times, it calls us to lovingly admonish the sinner. Now, both are works of mercy and acts of genuine love when done with the right spirit. When someone's behavior is hurtful or inappropriate, the Holy Spirit may invite us to practice the virtue of forbearance. That enables us to imitate Christ's patience, his patient endurance of all our own failings, and gives the offender the space to repent on his own. But other times, particularly when the person is habitually offensive, love demands that we speak the truth in charity, gently but firmly calling someone to repent. The key is discerning the right response through prayer, humility, and wise counsel.
Setting boundaries isn't a failure to love. It's actually an expression of it. You know, boundaries protect the dignity of both people in a relationship, and they provide the space for genuine growth and healing. You know, for Christian relationships, that means lovingly naming what's wrong and creating a path forward that honors both truth and mercy. You know, when we're dealing with a difficult person, instead of just reacting to them, here are a few things you can try. First of all, pray and ask God for clarity about your role. Specifically, ask, which would give you a better opportunity to work for this offensive person's ultimate good? You know, being patient with them or calling them to repent? Secondly, if you need to set a boundary, don't accuse or blame. Just describe what you need them to do instead of what they're currently doing and hold firm until they do it. And thirdly, if you feel stuck, seek help from someone you believe would be able to offer some spiritually mature support. With God's grace, we can all learn to love well without allowing ourselves to be unjustly wounded. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. We're talking about loving difficult people. Are you in a challenging relationship with someone or feeling stuck dealing with a difficult person? We want to help you find graceful ways to respond. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you today and we bring you all the difficult people that we have to deal with in our lives, the people who tend to lash out at us or who seem impossible to please, those people who refuse to take responsibility for the things that they've done or say they're going to change but then don't. Help us to know how to respond to all those people with your grace. Help us to remember that our job isn't just to react to those people, but rather to love them. And help us to know whether in this instance that means bearing those wrongs patiently and forgiving willingly, or if it means admonishing them and challenging them to be better in some way. And help us to know how to set the boundaries when we need to set them that actually lead to the possibility of a better, healthier, holier relationship with them, so that even as we deal with each other in our difficulties, we can build your kingdom by living out your grace in our relationships. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, loving difficult people. Are you in a challenging relationship with someone you care about, but they're just hard to be around for whatever reason? Well, we want to help you find the right ways to respond gracefully. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Marianne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Alabama.
Hi, Marianne. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you. Oh, I'm married to a total narcissist.
I'm so sorry. That's really hard.
Yeah, and it's getting more and more difficult. And most days I can handle it. I can pray. I can fast. But it's just lately it's just getting to me. We have a cat issue. He's obsessed with cats. So when I've been married to him 10 years. I separated for two because I couldn't handle another second. I was almost going to have a breakdown, so I had to go. But I never, I'm married to him. I took vows. There's no hope of an annulment. I don't want one. I don't want a divorce. And I came back. When I came back, we reconciled. And much to the chagrin of my family and friends, I might add, but they're supportive. And there's seven cats in the house. And now there's about 15 on the porch.
Oh, mercy.
He's not mentally right. I know that. I'm a retired nurse. I see it. It's like, I don't like to analyze, but I know he came from a single mom. I had a Pollyanna childhood. My parents were phenomenal. I had a great childhood. He had none of that.
Well, let's stick with the present, though. So what you told our screener that he had a stroke recently and the things have been worse.
Yeah,
so how can we help you today? What are you asking us to help with?
Well, how do I cope better? Like, I find myself punching the wall. That's dumb.
Well, I guess coping isn't really the issue. It's how do you address what you see as a problem? Like, what are you doing to try to address the issues? Because coping, called to cope.
If I'm calm and I try to tell Martin, you shouldn't be doing things this way. Why don't we try? No, he's never wrong. Ever. Never said I'm sorry. Maybe once a whole 10
So, Marianne, sounds to me like you're asking him for permission to change anything rather than saying, gee, there are 15 cats on my porch. Maybe I should go rehome some of these cats without even talking to him about it because he's reliant on me to help him with everything right
now. Yeah, you said that he's got mental health issues. He recently had a stroke and he's not as competent as he even used to be. And you're asking permission to set the boundaries you need to set. This is not a question of how do you cope. It's a question of how do you reclaim your mantle as a beloved daughter of God and exercise your prophetic mission to say, this is healthy, this is unhealthy, this is just, this is unjust, and then acting on it. I hate making blanket statements, but you mentioned you're a nurse, and one of the, all professions have certain downsides to them.
Well, right? They come from the upside.
Well, for
right?
example, most counselors have depressed moms, okay?
So, and nurses, by and large, are the people who care for everyone.
But they tend to be codependent.
Because they care so much, right?
And that's what you're being here. You're asking him permission to set appropriate boundaries, and whenever he says no, you just walk away feeling powerless. The answer here, Marianne, is that you need to learn how to command respect instead of begging for it. And I would really strongly suggest to you that you get the help that you need to learn how to set appropriate boundaries without having to ask him permission to set those boundaries. Because nobody's asking you to cope with or put up with offensive, destructive, dismissive, unhealthy behavior.
And when Greg says command respect, he doesn't mean demand respect. Demanding is you get in there, you yell, you scream, or you whine, or you beg, and you think that it's going to be effective. Commanding respect is saying, what do I need to live in a healthy, holy relationship, in a rightly ordered home? Oh, well, I do not want to have 15 cats on my porch. This is bringing down the value of my home. It's more than I want to cope with. I don't like the smell, whatever that is, and saying, well, what do I need to do about this? I need to do X, Y, and Z. And not going to him and dealing with it.
Well, so let's walk through this. I mean, under normal circumstances, it would be appropriate to go to your spouse and say, hey, here's this problem. Let's work on it together. And this is not just for you, Marianne, but anybody else who's listening to this. If you go to your spouse and you say, hey, there's a problem here. I really need your help in figuring out what to do about it. And your spouse, you know, rather than sitting down with you and coming up with a plan, says, I don't want to deal with that. Or that's not a problem. Or, you know, and they negate you or they dismiss you. What that means is that you have now been given the right to do whatever you need to do to handle the problem yourself. And why is that? Well, because you went to your partner and you asked them for help and they refused to give it to you. So now you're on your own to deal with it. And they're going to have to deal with how you deal with it. And that's how people learn to take you seriously.
Yes.
Because he comes home or he comes downstairs and he finds all the cats are gone and he gets mad at you and you say, well, honey, I came to you and I said, please work on a solution with me. And you refused to do that. So I handled the problem. The next time I come to you and ask you for help, please have that conversation with me so we can come to a solution that works for both of us. But I'm not going to be ignored, and I'm not going to be dismissed, and I'm not going to allow you to treat me this way because I am a beloved daughter of God, and because you, as a man of God, deserve to act better than that. And that's how we challenge each other as godly husbands and wives to become better people. Not by asking permission to set boundaries, but by saying, look, I love you. This is a problem. It's going to be handled one way or the other. Do you want to be part of the solution, or do you want me to just handle it? Right? I need you to learn how to do that. And it's not. And instead of blaming him for being narcissistic, I need you to learn how to strengthen your own backbone and really start cooperating with that grace to work for your good and his. And if you'd like to learn more about how to do that in faithful ways, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We're more than happy to walk with you through that. With that, we got to go to break. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. We're talking about loving difficult people. Are you in a challenging relationship with someone? Are you feeling stuck dealing with a difficult person? We want to help you find the healthy ways to respond gracefully in those challenging situations. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. He'll be sharing some insights about dealing with difficult people. And more to life continues after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
He was a pope, a saint, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
Pope St. Gregory I the Great is one of only four popes honored as the Great. Among his many achievements was sending missionaries across Northern Europe, especially St. Augustine of Canterbury, who brought Christ to the people of England. In a pun, Pope Gregory called the English people angels. He died in 604.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, loving difficult people. Are you in a challenging relationship with someone? Are you feeling stuck dealing with a difficult person? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya. He is a pastor, a counselor, an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body, as well as being an artist. Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Always great to be here.
Well, thank you. We were talking over the break, and you wanted to address a common mistake that we often make in dealing with difficult people, and also what to do about that. Where do you want to start?
Yes, very common mistake, and you even heard it in your previous caller. We tend to want or wait for the problematic person to change, so sometimes by accusing or complaining, and while we remain static, as if, you know, we often take on the victimhood without really realizing it. And what we have to realize is that between the two people, the one who's not problematic is freer to act. And we tend to, in relationships, we tend to respond, we react to each other. So if we change, the other person's behavior can change. So we have to gather the insight and ask ourselves, okay, this person is like this, but what can I do or not do that might contribute towards a different kind of situation, a different kind of reaction or behavior from that person? So it's a very tendency. I find people all the time. I have, you know, counseling a man whose wife is very problematic. I think she's diagnosed with bipolar, but I think she's actually so what I do is I tell him, I said, you know, when you come to me and you talk to me, I talk to both of them too, but when I talk to him, I said, you're reacting as though she's normal, that she can be normal, and you're reacting that way. So you're always a victim. You're always frustrated. You have to change how you see her, that she's not able to act as you want. And you have to, in a sense, help her. You have to react differently to her, and don't expect her to react normally, because she has some impediments. Pray for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for two virtues in particular. One is prudence, the other one is fortitude. And then with the problematic person, maximize their giftedness to them. In other words, reflect back to them what is good, and times whenever they did react a little bit different, they reacted a little bit differently, and explain to them, oh, you know, this, it was so much better or productive when you did this or did not do that. And so you've got to remind them about their true self, that they are made in the image and likeness of God, because a lot of people just don't choose to be mean for the sake of being mean. They're coming out of their own woundedness, their own lack of formation, their own dysfunction, or lack of faith and spirituality, and so on. So you have to kind of, in a sense, help them and just not be a victim. So the main thing is, always think that you it's like a dance. You know, partners are dancing. One moves, mm-hmm. the other one has to move. And it's not where anyone is static, and you wait for other person to change or improve. Then you just frustrate yourself, just kind of beat yourself.
I like that metaphor you're talking about, because I just imagine standing in the middle of a dance floor and literally just standing there waiting for the other person to make a move. You know, if you don't start dancing, then nothing's going to happen. And so in any of these situations, we don't have to wait for permission to act or set boundaries or address the issue. We just need to really go to God and say, what is it that I can do to bring out the best in this person and be my best self as well, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and that includes, like, as you see, either being very, having a lot of forbearance, you know, walking with them, bearing with them lovingly, as the scripture says, or setting those boundaries, as you were talking about, even with the previous caller. But those boundaries can be set that's why the virtues of prudence and fortitude are important here, because prudence tells you the right thing to do, fortitude gives you the strength to do it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid about losing that person's love or losing that relationship. You have to do what is right, do it lovingly, but firmly, you know, very, very confidently. Spell it out to them. And then affirm whenever things do go better, point it out to them, maximizing their giftedness to them. Reflect back to them what is good about them, how they can do it, but you're there to help them. It's always going to be, especially with the couples, you're walking with them. You're not just standing there saying, you need to change, you need to shape up,
yes,
and then we'll be happy.
Right. That's so important to remember, because what really we're saying, and I love the fact that you use the word confidently, because as you pointed out so beautifully, we give up our confidence, we give up our God-given authority, we give up everything when we're just waiting for the other person to change or to give us permission to do anything. We're stuck in this very, you know, young child self where mom and dad have to give us permission to change anything in the house or anything in a relationship. And God's calling us out of that to truly be confident in the gifts that he's given us and what he's calling us to do in a relationship. Thank you so much, Father Loya. I really appreciate your input today.
And if folks would like to learn more about Father Loya's good work, please go to taborlife.org. That's T-A-B-O-R-life. .com. And that's all about the Tabor Life Institute. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about loving difficult people. Are you in a relationship with someone that is kind of hard to be around for whatever reason? Maybe you care about them, maybe you just have to deal with them, but either way, they're not easy to be around. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to respond effectively and hopefully turn those relationships around. 877-573-7825. Whether that person is your spouse, one of your younger or adult kids, your parent or a family member, or even a friend or coworker. Fact is, we all have a difficult person in our lives, and it's an opportunity to learn a more mature and nuanced approach to what it means to love people with God's love. So let's talk about what that means in your situation. 877-573-7825. Back in a minute.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, "My people perish," or in another translation, "My people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God. But not a lot of intimacy with God, not a lot of relationship with God, not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
How would you define the word beatitude? Webster's Dictionary defines beatitude as a state of utmost bliss and a declaration made in the Sermon on the Mount. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states that the Beatitudes are, in effect, a portrait of the man who declared them, Jesus Christ, depicting his countenance and portraying his charity. The Beatitudes also describe the attitudes and actions that should portray and depict his followers, true Christians. The Beatitudes are paradoxical in their promises. None seems more paradoxical than number 8, which proclaims, "Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." The paradox is that God is present even amidst trials and tribulations. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. When feeling attacked, judged, or misunderstood, our natural tendency is to react, to lash out and defend ourselves. We assume that the other person intends to be offensive. But even when it seems like someone is being purposefully antagonistic, we don't really know their true intentions. That's why charity and good psychology remind us that instead of reacting harshly, we can choose to be humble and give the other person the benefit of the doubt. That doesn't mean letting people walk all over us. It means that the best way to challenge an antagonistic person's bad behavior is to ask questions that clarify what they're trying to accomplish so that we can help them find kinder, more loving ways to get their point across and meet their needs. Clarifying questions don't accuse or challenge the other person. They hold up a mirror that forces the antagonistic person to ask themselves, is the way I'm acting really helping me get my needs met? To learn more graceful ways to deal with conflict, visit CatholicCounselors.com or check out our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, loving difficult people. Are you dealing with someone who you find hard to get along with? It could be anybody, your spouse, one of your younger or adult kids, a parent or a family member, or even a friend or coworker. Whatever they're doing to be difficult, we want to help you know how to respond in love, but in a way that is effective and hopefully transforms the relationship. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Before we talk to our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating an incredible 21 years with us.
Living Bread Radio has three stations serving Canton, Cleveland, and Youngstown, Ohio. Congratulations to Barb Gaskell and her team at Living Bread Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And I should say that wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Catholic Radio, please make sure to support your local EWTN Catholic Radio station. Certainly, keep us all in prayer. But we also need you to support those local stations with your dollars to keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come, so we can keep supporting you and all those you love in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Again, congratulations to Barb Gaskell and all the people out there working in EWTN Catholic Radio to build the kingdom. And thank you for your support of that effort. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Loving Difficult People. We all have somebody in our life who's a little hard to handle. Let's talk about how to manage those challenging relationships gracefully. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Steve, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Orlando, Florida.
Hi, Steve. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, Dr. and Mrs. Popchak. My wife has had a tenuous relationship with one of her sisters for about 7 years and maybe even going beyond that. And this sister displays all the traits of a covert narcissist. They really don't have contact, but we feel like we've probably been excluded once again from a family vacation. We don't have conflict with the other people in the family, but we feel like this particular sister's probably influenced the others to exclude us once again. My wife did have a conversation with her parents 2 years ago about this. In fact, same destination and everything, same week of the year, and they responded well, thought that they understood her concerns, that how much that had hurt her, and they apologized. But being that it appears, we don't know for sure yet, but it appears like it's happening again. We're just at a loss about what to do. My wife would prefer not to cut off the rest of her family or her parents, but it doesn't seem like they're really understanding where she's coming from.
So to get this, to clarify this, you're saying that you were excluded from the family vacation again this year?
Yes, and my wife had a...
Is there a reason that she wouldn't just directly ask her parents what's going on with that?
Well, she will, if that's what you recommend. She did have a conversation with them 2 years ago about it, and they seem to understand exactly where she's coming from. And, that was a 30-minute conversation. So I'm not sure why this is happening again now that they understood her.
And Steve, let me ask you this. Since the family takes a vacation every year, Are you and your wife getting ahead of this by like 6-7 months and saying, hey, where are we all going on vacation this year? We can't wait. I'm just assuming you're invited.
That's not what I asked.
Yeah. You're complaining about being excluded from this trip.
If you want to be part of the family trip, have you ever just said, hey, we want to be part of planning the family trip this year. Where are you thinking of going? What weeks can we do this? Assuming, like just coming into it, assuming you're going.
No, we've not directly asked them to be invited.
Yeah, I think that's what you need to be doing. So like, based on like what we've been saying throughout the program so far, what Father Loya was talking about, you know, you said, okay, well, I had a 30-minute conversation with her, you know, her parents, or she had a 30-minute conversation with her parents 2 years ago. That's not really enough to make any kind of a change, right? It has to be addressed directly, and the most positive way to do it is exactly what Lisa just said. You know, this happens every year, so why not bring it up and say, "Hey, what's going on with the trip this year?" Instead of kind of sitting around and making it a test of whether they really love you or not.
And I want to be very clear. I don't even want you to say what's going on with the trip. I want you to say, "Hey, are we starting to plan this trip now? Where are we thinking of going this year? What weeks?" No questions, no permission. Like Steve, you just said, we haven't asked permission to be included. You're part of this family. If you come at this as just, where are we going? What are we doing? What date are we all doing this? And I'm not talking about a week before, like 6 months before, 7 months before, because things have to be booked, right? Then if they turn around and say, oh, well, that's uncomfortable, you can't come, that gives you something to say, okay, wait a minute, why are you choosing this sister over us? Let's talk about the deal. But the chances are that if this sister is as intense as you say she is, she's just riding over this. She's just like, okay, Mom and Dad, we're going to go here, and this is what we're going to...
And, here's
and
the
you're
thing.
Getting left out just because you're not part of the
planning.
I can tell,
just from the way you've presented the question, that you and your wife and probably her whole family are conflict avoiders, right? You don't address things head on. And so when this sister, who is more forceful, you know, comes out and says, I don't really want them to be part of this, or you guys are easy to ignore because you don't bring it up.
Even if she doesn't even mention you, she's just busy planning it and Mom and Dad are going along with it. And, oh, okay. And because you guys never say, hey, when are we doing this? What are we doing? Let's get this scheduled. They're just going along to get along and they're not even really thinking that you guys really want to be a part of this.
And even if they do, then again, it's just easier to just ignore the whole situation and just go along with what she says. I think, you know, Steve, again, building on what Father Loya was talking about, you know, the temptation here is to sort of set this up as a test and say, well, you know, if they really listened to me and if they really love me, it'll be different this time. Don't wait for them to change. If you want to be part of this, initiate that conversation that Lisa's talking about here and say, so, okay, next year, where are we going on the trip? What are we doing? Let's plan this together. And if you want a better relationship in general, you know, initiate, you know, take charge of that and see how they respond. If they don't respond well, okay, then you've got a problem you can deal with directly. You can say, hey, you know, I've really been trying to reach out and build relationship and you guys are putting up barriers. What do we need to do to get over those things? But otherwise, you're just sort of sitting there and waiting for them to make the move. And that may not happen. And that doesn't mean they don't love you. It could mean a million other things. But it means in this case, you know, our responsibility as Christians is to ask, how can I act in a way that invites the person to be their best, not sets them up to test them to see if they really love me? So, Steve, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you in this, don't hesitate to reach out. I encourage you to download the podcast later on today and listen to it together with your wife and start praying about some strategies to be more proactive in addressing this challenge. And again, I get how painful it is to feel excluded. But instead of us kind of falling into that temptation of playing the victim, God gives us the grace to be proactive and address those problems in the relationship head on. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do. All right, with that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about loving difficult people. Are you in a challenging relationship with someone? You know, whether that person is your spouse, one of your younger or adult kids, a parent, a family member, or friend or coworker. The fact is, we've all got a difficult person in our lives. Maybe that person lashes out at you when they're upset or they're impossible to please. Maybe they consistently say or do hurtful things and then refuse to take responsibility when you try to address it. Maybe they're not actively offensive, but they're passive aggressive. For example, they tell you that they're going to change, and then they just don't. And when you bring it up, they just sort of stare blankly at you. Whatever the situation is, because the fact is, there are a billion different ways to be difficult. If you have somebody who is difficult in your life, let's talk about graceful ways to manage those challenges. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Luke chapter 17, verse 3.
If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him.
You know, a reminder here, because again, as Christians, very often we think, oh, it's our job to just sort of passively accept however anybody else treats us and then offer it up. And there are times when that is the right thing to do, as we were sharing in our reflection at the beginning of the program. If there's somebody that we are dealing with who, generally speaking, tries really hard to do the right thing and behave well, but they have a bad day or a bad moment and they forget themselves, it can be a very loving and graceful thing to just bear that wrong patiently and say, I'm going to give them some space to figure it out for themselves. So you're not just pouring salt in the wound. But if somebody's being habitually offensive, the more loving thing to do is, as Jesus says here, rebuke them so they have an opportunity to be forgiven.
But let's look at it clearly, because it said, if your brother sins. So you want to take some time to pray about what the sin is in the situation. So you're not saying, you're a terrible person, or you don't treat me right, or you don't want to come at this attacking the person. You want to be able to say, hey, you were not honest with me when you said X or did Y. You weren't loving when you did this thing, when you left me out of this, or when you collected 17 cats without asking me and didn't care how it affected my life, or like our first caller. You want to identify what the sinful behavior is, call that person on to the opposite virtuous behavior, and address that. Don't make it an attack. Don't make it asking permission for them to change. Just go at it with, this is where you're being sinful. You don't have to call it that if you feel like that'll get them to be belligerent toward you, but it doesn't hurt if the person's open to being a more virtuous person. And deal with what needs to be done differently. And if they repent, whether that's right away or they've had to think about it for a little while or get some counsel, then you can forgive them and move on into those healthier practices in your relationship.
But the reality is, dealing with a difficult person is never easy. Let us help you find grace-filled ways to manage those challenging relationships more effectively. 877-573-7825. Once again, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, loving difficult people. Are you in a challenging relationship with someone? Feeling a little stuck trying to deal with that difficult person? Well, let's talk it out and find some grace-filled ways to respond and turn those relationships around. 877-573-7825.
Let's go to our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
Hello, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. Yeah, I'm dealing with a difficult person, or maybe two difficult people. My situation is, it's my adult son. I have six children, and he is my oldest. He recently got married, and for some reason, he has completely, pretty much shut me out of his life. I have approached him. I've asked him if I've done something. I've apologized. I have tried many times to reach out to him, and lately I just feel like I need to wait, but I just need some guidance on next steps.
So you told our screener that he was going to a counselor, you heard through the grapevine that he was going to a counselor who said that he needed to set some boundaries with you. Any idea why or what? I mean, has he communicated those boundaries to you, or has he just shut you out?
No, he said that he was seeing a counselor who told him that he needed to have some boundaries, that growing up he felt that he was put under a great deal of pressure by my husband and I to, you know, perform a certain way, to be perfect in certain things. He is our oldest, so yes, the expectations were very high, as it is for all of my children, and that he needed space, he needed time. He felt that he was loved conditionally based on how he performed and not unconditionally, and that was hard for him. He recently has been married, and I think that has complicated the situation a little bit. She, I don't think, is a fan of me, which has made it a little bit more difficult. And
any idea why?
I did offer to go to counseling with him, and he said, you know, that would be great, because I said, I'm all in. I'll do anything to mend this relationship. I want a relationship with you. And so that was on the table, and then recently he texted me and said, that's not going to work. I have a new counselor now. I don't feel comfortable with this. So, yeah, so that's also part of the picture.
Okay. I'm really sorry that you're having to deal with that. It's very difficult when a person is setting boundaries but not being clear about why. You know, a good boundary isn't a cutoff. A good boundary gives a person a healthy way in, right? You know, so for example, if you were doing something offensive, you know, a good boundary would be to say, hey, listen, Mom, I really don't like when you do that. Could you do this instead? You know, or it really upsets me whenever you approach me like this. Could we handle it that way? And so a good boundary doesn't just push someone away or cut them off. It gives them a healthy way to possibly move forward. Unfortunately, in this situation, probably the best thing that you can do is let him know that you love him and that you're going to just sort of step back, not because you want to, but because you care about him and you want to respect this boundary that he set, that you know, you're here for him. And, you know, you've already said that I'm willing to work with you with your counselor, or I'm willing to do anything that you would like to do to heal this relationship. But, I want to respect you're saying that you need some space right now, and I'm going to give that to you. But I hope that we at some point you can show me or help me understand how we could move forward in a healthier, more productive way. When somebody's sort of setting down these boundaries, you know, and not being clear about why, Our natural tendency is to kind of push to figure out why, and then that just confirms for them that they need to set even more boundaries with us. And so the only thing you can really do at that point is to step back, communicate that you've heard the message, that you're stepping back not because you don't love them or because you don't want to be part of their lives, but because you want to respect the fact that they've asked for some space. And you sort of step back at that point, and you continue to build a relationship with your other kids. I'm not saying you try to do a workaround in any way, but if they right. can, if they can be advocates for you in some way, just gently suggesting that, hey, maybe, brother, you can tell mom what she can do, or that kind of thing. But don't make it all about that. But just keep building the relationship with the other kids.
Give him something that he wants to come back to. Really work on those relationships in that really healthy way. And truly, there's no parent that has a higher bar for us to hit than God himself. But he also just immerses us in his love and his presence and his mercy. And I think now is a time to really be able to start building that loving, connected relationship with your kids in any ways that you can.
If it wouldn't be offensive to him for you to send the occasional, say, weekly text or whatever, hey, I'm thinking about you, thus and such happened, keeping it kind of chatty and light and not addressing the problem, but just sort of keeping him updated in on your life or the life of his siblings, and as I say, I'm praying for you, I hope that you're having a good week, and don't expect anything back, but just if he wouldn't be offended by that or feel like you were violating the boundary by just keeping that kind of chatty text thing going up every week, that helps at least reaffirm that you want to still be part of his life whenever he's ready to deal with you. But if you think that would provoke him, then go ahead and give him space there too. Or you can do that and say, I won't do this if it bothers you, but I wanted to just find at least some way to let you know that I'm still invested in our relationship. Whenever you're ready to work on things with me, I'm here for you. Those are the best things you could do at this point. So try some of those strategies. Let us know how it's going in a couple of weeks, and we can kick it around a little bit more if you'd like to get more insights. Thanks so much for the call. That's really all the time we've got for today's program. We've got a couple of minutes here before we have to head out, but not enough time to take another call. I want to just reaffirm a theme that's really come out in the course of the show. When we're dealing with difficult people, very often what we do is we either ask permission for them to change, or we wait around for them to change. We feel like the only option we have is to either put up with it or complain about it. And neither of those things are really the Christian response,
Nor are they effective.
And so when somebody's being offensive, we have an obligation. Well, it's not just what anybody. We have an obligation all the time to work for the other person's ultimate good.
Yeah.
To try to bring out the best in all the people that we interact with and to be our best selves as well. That's what God asks us to do. And so if we have that mindset and we enter into a relationship with a difficult person or somebody becomes difficult to deal with, the question we need to take to prayer is, what would it mean for me to be my best self in this situation and lovingly challenge them to be better, lovingly challenge them to be their best self too? And then I have the right to say or do whatever I prayerfully believe is necessary to be my best self and to bring out the best in them. I don't have to ask permission for that, because as long as I'm working for their good, I'm loving them, even if they get mad at me for that. Because let's face it, sometimes none of us want to be better. We just want to be who we are. And if I'm feeling grumpy and miserable, I want to be grumpy and miserable, and I want you to let me be grumpy and miserable.
And we're all very, very addicted to that comfort zone, whatever's making us feel more comfortable now.
But if I'm doing
it's grumpy
that,
and miserable.
Right, but if I'm doing that, all right, if I'm moping around or I'm being grumpy and miserable to be around, and Lisa says to me, hey, Greg, I love you, but you need to knock that off, and I don't, then she has a right to kind of set some boundaries then to kind of challenge me to be different. She doesn't have to ask me permission to do that. That's just what Christians do for each other. We work for each other's good. And so don't ever get stuck wondering, well, gosh, is it okay for me to set this boundary or to ask for this change? If you prayerfully believe that that change would really help that person be better or this relationship be healthier or holier, then go ahead and say that or do that thing that really issues that respectful, loving challenge.
And it really is part of helping yourself become everything that God wants you to be and helping that other person and build that relationship. But remember, there could be some bumps in the road. The disciples did this for each other, and sometimes they had to work some things out. But it's worth doing because it's God's good work in your life.
I talk about this a lot more in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. Again, that's God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Check it out. And while you're there, learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.